Hey, what is up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Man, back for episode 41. Hey, great journey right now. Great journey. I just want to thank you guys for tuning in and being a great, intricate part of the podcast. Your love and support has meant the world to me. You know, just keep in mind, though, man, season two is coming to an end. And it has been a great one. It's been a good one. You know, the Lord has put a lot of things into my spirit, you know, this season, and I'm thrilled and honored that I've been enabled to share the gospel with you in such a way that has been so personal and so real. And if you guys don't know, if you guys have been tuning in on the Unchained Podcast, I'm gonna let y'all in on this little secret that season one, I was actually in a transition, you know, going into a new season. So when you listen to the podcast and you listen to the messages behind, behind the titles, and you hear those, guys, those were real messages coming to you from something that I was actually going through at the moment. Season number two is actually the result of what I was going through, what God has been teaching me behind the scenes. And I remember praying one time and asking God, you know, why was I going through what I was going through? Why was I experiencing the things that I was experiencing? And God was like, hey, look below the surface, son, that there's more to this than what you see. There's more to it, than what you're experiencing. I'm teaching you something. So if you just take a moment and stop complaining, you know, I promise you, you're going to learn a valuable lesson. Notice that I'm building you. Understand that I'm strengthening you. Understand that I'm molding you over and making you into what I've created you to be. So, don't wish yourself out of the fire. You know, don't wish yourself out of the fire. Let my word continue to purify you and purge you of everything that that has the ability to separate you from me, by your own hands, by your own devices, by your own beliefs. You know, let my word purge those things, man. So, yeah, when you hear season one, season two, understand, man, that there's a lot of personal testimony in what I have been giving you guys, what we've talked about, the prayers, the tears, the laughing, you know, just the ups and downs, the highs and lows of each season. They're all personal and very dear to my heart, very special to me. So I just pray that when you guys, you know, hear the Unchained Podcast, that it does something transformative in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. And I just pray that, you know, what God gives me does something, man, and changes you for the rest of your life. You know, I just need to water the seeds, whatever's in you that God put in you. I promise you, I'm just pouring water. I just want to be the vessel to help God cultivate, this great harvest that is going to come forth, you know. So, sowing seed as much as I can, watering as much as I can, right? So, with that being said, man, again, just thank you guys for tuning in. If you guys want to support the Unchained Podcast, you can go to anchor.fm/unchained. Choose your level of the monthly contribution that is right for you. If you want to, send your monthly contribution to Cash App, that's $NoChains on me. That's Cash App, $NoChains on me. And of course, if you want to give something different, you guys are more than welcome to, email me at Keelan@NoChainsOnMe.com, and that's chains with a Z. I have other, payment methods, that you guys are able to use. So, thank you guys for your love and support. As this season is coming to a close, man, I appreciate everything that you guys have been doing. I appreciate your level of interaction. Oh, and I'm gonna go ahead and invite you guys. So for those of you who are on Facebook, I'm gonna invite you guys to the Unchained Transformation private group on there. I do a teaching. I think last month I did two teachings. I think maybe a week apart, maybe 2 weeks apart. But I'm going to get into the habit of doing a 4 to 5 day teaching every month, and I want it to be based on a line of thought that God gives to me through prayer and that time that I set aside for him. And I want to use this to encourage you guys so that, you know, when you tune in, I'm literally speaking life to you guys. I'm literally encouraging you guys through the word of God, by the word of God, by faith, you know, putting my gift to use in a tangible way so that others can benefit. Because let's face it, guys, for those of you, you have gifts, you have talents, you have abilities, and there are no goods stored up in you. So this is just one of the methods that God has led me to use so that I can encourage you guys, strengthen you guys, and just open up my heart to share with you guys, you know, what God reveals to me through Bible study, what I learn in my field of expertise, in life coaching and transformation. So that is available to you guys. That there's no charge for that. There's no charge to be a part of that group, man. Now you do have the opportunity to get involved, with life coaching, through Unchained, and that's something that has been going extremely great. So you guys heard the testimony last week. You've seen the testimonies on Facebook. It has been just a phenomenal journey so far, what God has been able to do through me. And again, it just reminds me every time I hear a testimony, every time somebody texts or calls and says thanks, you know, I just give praise to God that I'm able to be used in such a way that is bringing life and changing people's lives around and taking people from depression to joy, from running toward life away from depression and suicidal thoughts, man. It has been so phenomenal for God to be able to use me in that way, man. So praise God. But without further ado, man, I really want to get into today's word. And today's word, man, is going to come out of Job, right? It's going to come out of Job. It's going to be in chapter 1. It's going to be chapter 2. We're doing Job 1, 6 through 12. And then we're going to turn around and do Job 2, 1 through 10. And, you know, I don't really have anything in mind that I want to speak on. But I always try to make sure that whatever I'm doing is being led by the Holy Spirit of God, waiting on him to give me a word, waiting for him to open up the door so that I can speak to whoever he's calling me to speak to. And so for some reason, like I've told you guys, man, God has done such a work in my heart and in my spirit for me to be able to feel what you guys are feeling, to hear what is on your heart, being able to hear what is on within your mind, something that you don't want to talk about, don't want to deal with, don't know how to deal with it. Maybe you're coping with it the wrong way. But praise God for his anointing that he has bestowed upon me to be able to speak to you guys in such a way that is personal, in such a way that is direct. So without further ado, man, I'm going to open up, today's Bible study, really, I didn't mean to say Bible study, but podcast, Bible study, same deal, because it comes out of the Word of God. I never get on here I'm not just talking just to be talking. So I did take a lot of notes on these, so bear with me, people. So again, we're starting out of we're starting in Job chapter 1 verses 6 through 12, and then again in Job chapter 2 verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read all of them, and then we're going to break this down, and hopefully I'm not long-winded and I get out of here and you guys are enriched and empowered by the Word of God. So, as it starts, verse 6, one day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." "All right, you may test him," the Lord said to Satan. "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but do not harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. All right. Now we're going to go over to chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. One day, The members of the heavenly court came again to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil, and he has maintained his integrity even though you urge me to harm him without cause." Satan replied to the Lord, "Skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his life, but reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to his face. curse you to your face. All right, do with him as you please," the Lord said to Satan, "but spare his life." So Satan left the Lord's presence and struck Job with terrible boils from head to foot. Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" So in all this, Job said nothing. May God add his richness to the word. May the word of God be life and light to the listener. May the word of God tear down strongholds and break bondages. Father God, add your anointing to this message. And again, Father God, breathe your life into this message, Father God, that those who are listening on become radically transformed by the spirit and truth of your word. In your holy and matchless name we pray, amen. So the reason why I'm you know, speaking out of Job today is really because I have been mulling over what God has been doing in my life and in my heart. And in a weird transition in my personal life, God has been speaking to me in such a unique way. And to be honest, it has been a little different not being able to understand what God is doing, to look at my life and how it's unfolding, and to look at different points, different peaks, different valleys, different situations, different circumstances. Everything, of course, I know and understand that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I understand that. I understand that nothing is happening to me, but it's happening for me. I understand that when God allows some things to happen in my life, that they're going to be uncomfortable. Not everything is going to be great. Not everything is going to be easy to walk through. Not everything is easy to pray through. Not everything is easy for me to stand back and look at it as, "Wow, God, look at what you're doing in the midst of this trial." All things don't happen that way, especially when you're entering the storm. There's not a lot God tells you up front. He only gives you enough at certain times in different ways to hear his voice in a specific way. It's almost like a trail of breadcrumbs that lead you throughout, that lead you to your destiny throughout your life. And as I'm reading this, and of course we've all read the story of Job. Well, and if you haven't, read the story of Job, it's almost crazy. It's almost somewhat discouraging. And I say that because when we go through things, it seems like the night has gotten really, really dark. That every day is darkened and there is no sunshine. No matter how bright the sun shines, when our eyes go inward and we focus on the pain and we focus on the situation, it is almost impossible to see things with a bright side. It's almost hard to see the silver lining in the cloud. And in my personal life, guys, I promise you, this has been one of the most eye-opening things, because I've read Job before. And again, if you haven't read Job, this sounds kind of messed up. And as we unpack this, it's not easy to understand. It's not. And so with that being said, we have to take a look at what's really happening in this particular part, because or in this story, because Job's life, it looks like a really dark night. Hence why I named this podcast Dark Nights. Dark Nights, because sometimes it seems like life is not getting any better. It seems like certain situations and circumstances are not changing. It seems like the finances are not changing. It seems like you're still at odds with the spouse. It seems like you're still arguing with the parents. It seems like you're never going to find a job. It seems like the economy keeps getting worse. It seems like nobody wants to work anymore. It seems like everything is going downhill. There's when you look at your life and you look at your outside circumstances, and if there is a part in your life where it almost feels like it's not getting any better, I just want to tell you that I understand. I want to tell you that it's not always going to be this way. I want to tell you that it's not going to always look like this, but when you see what is happening to Job, when you see that, when we read about what is happening in his life, it's almost as if there's no hope. See, I read to you what is going on as he approached the heavenly court. When you read the story of Job, you are understanding that Job is a very wealthy man. He has everything you could ever ask for in his day. He has money. He has land. He has cattle. He has so much stuff. And not only that, he has a full family. He has a full family. And when you continue to read the entire first chapter of Job, you will begin to understand that there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. When you read past verse 12 in chapter 1, you're going to understand that, you know, not only is his life about to get wrecked, but I guess if you put yourself in Job's shoes, you're going to understand the anguish that comes with it. For me personally, I couldn't imagine what Job was about to endure. I couldn't imagine it. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have guessed it. Seeing as if the whole story started off talking about how Job is blameless and upright. There's none like him in all the land. So God thought very highly of Job's dedication. As a matter of fact, when you read down, I think in verse 5, it says Job's regular practice was going and making sacrifices because his kids would have parties, and sometimes it would last for days and they would feast, and he didn't know what they were doing in their homes, but he made it a regular practice to go and make sacrifices to God for their sins. Like, he really revered who God was. He feared God. And so it doesn't make any sense in my mind, what is about to happen to Job doesn't make any sense. Because if you go on and read the verse 7, it really goes on and it starts talking about these messengers that are coming. And they come up to Job and they talk about his field being raided and the ox were being stolen and his animals being killed and animals being kidnapped and all these things are starting to happen. So the first thing that was attacked in Job's life was his family and his fortune. He lost all of his children. Everything that he used to make money was now gone. Everything that he used to draw wealth was taken from him. His family was taken from him. His kids, he had no more kids. No more kids. Could you imagine losing your income and your kids and everything that you've done, all that you've known, you lose it in one conversation? See, I don't really know how to explain, because it doesn't really give a timeline. Satan just appears before God after patrolling the earth. And it would appear that Satan is searching for someone to inflict pain. See, God draws attention to Job and grants him access to destroy Job's family and his fortune. His oxen and everything are out there plowing in the field, and his donkeys are feeding beside them. And then there's some people come and raid his land, and they steal the animals and they kill all the farmhands. And only one messenger escapes to bring Job this news. And even while this guy is speaking, another messenger shows up out of nowhere. And it says the fire of God had fallen from heaven and burned up all the sheep and all the shepherds. Can you imagine? It says fire fell from heaven and burnt up the other half of his fortune. And only one servant gets away to tell Job what's happening. And even while he's still speaking, another messenger shows up. And three bands of Chaldean raiders steal all the camels and kill all the servants. And guess what? A fourth messenger came. A fourth one. And then it says the sons and daughters were feasting in the oldest brother's house. And a powerful wind swept through. And it landed on the kids. So all of his children are gone. And Job stands up and he tears his robe. See, God makes it known that Job is blameless and upright. But he still allows further pain. And he allows it to be inflicted upon Job by attacking his health next. This is something that I can't imagine as well. Because here we go again. Satan comes back, appears before the Lord again. And the Lord asks him, Satan, what are you doing here? And he says, oh, I've been looking for somebody else to torture. And God offers up Job as if he's, you know, as if he's a toy or a tool or just a punching bag. Because here we go. It would seem unfair to me that God would allow Job's family fortune and health to be attacked. It would seem unfair to me that Job would lose everything. He would lose everything. It would seem unfair that Job would be left with nothing but broken pieces of pottery to scrape the sores and pus from his flesh. That seems like really unfair. It does. And I don't even want to be like in a teaching mode, but for me, it just seems so unfair that somebody who is blameless and upright is losing all of his possessions, lost his family, and now he's losing his health. And he didn't do anything wrong. God even said so. It just seems downright hurtful for God to present you like a game, like wild game to a hunter. Like for me, it seems so unfair. And for what cause? For what cause would God do that to somebody who is blameless and upright and serves him? What would be the purpose? See, for me, this is where sometimes serving God gets hard. And I'm just speaking from my heart, guys. I promise you, sometimes serving God is hard because you cannot understand what God is doing behind the scenes. And God doesn't always let you know what is about to happen or what's coming. He doesn't always allow for that to happen. And I remember clear as day, July 16th, 2019. I remember it clear as day, like it was just yesterday. I promise you, I remember it. See, in my own personal life, see, from what I could recall and to the best of my ability at the time, like I was living upright and blameless. From what I knew. See, from what I knew, I was serving God to my full capacity. From what I knew, me coming to church and running cameras was, I thought that was a great thing. From what I knew, me going and teaching classes on Wednesdays and preaching on Saturdays and sometimes Sunday morning was, I thought that was great stuff. From what I knew, I thought waking up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning was great to get into the Word of God so that I can get revelation to grow closer with God. From what I knew, I thought these things would have prohibited July 16th, 2019. I thought it would have. I thought it would have. I thought that day would not come because of what I was doing for the Lord. I thought that day was not supposed to be marked on my calendar because I was serving. I thought that day was not supposed to come because I love God in such a way where nothing was coming between us. I had a rhythm and a pattern and a meeting place and an appointment with God multiple times a day, every day. I thought that day was not going to come. But I remember on that day, my life shifted. And this ain't my whole testimony. This is just a piece. It ain't my whole testimony. It's just a piece. But I just remember that day my life shifted. I remember how I felt finding information that would lead to the breaking of my family. I found information that was detrimental to my sanity as I knew it. Information that I had gotten that day. It had prohibited me from sleeping regularly. I was sleeping 1 and 2 hours per day. I wasn't eating. I had lost 21 pounds in 3 weeks. The information that I had received that day was a snowball effect of pounding after pounding after pounding for what I was doing it and from how I was serving God, I could not have perceived that July 16th, 2019 was not supposed to be on my calendar. In my eyes, me serving God, my family was not supposed to come to an end. From what I understood, I thought I was supposed to be protected. I thought that my dedication to the Lord would have prohibited these occurrences coming in my life that would radically shift my life over the past 2 years. I remember wrongful accusations from that point in time in my life that resulted in me leaving my home and me being homeless, me living in my car and living off of Pop-Tarts and Bang drinks. I thought that my service to God would render me protected. But I also remember the rejection of whom were supposed to be my in-laws never rang my phone when everything was going down. I had spent the next several months and weeks of my life alone with no real family to come check on me. From these people that I thought were supposed to be my family, that I was literally cut off. I had felt as if I had been shunned. I had been outcasted. I had been left to endure this alone. But, you know, and see, this is where the confusion comes sometimes when we're serving God, because for me, I thought that they would have seen my dedication to the Lord and God, and I thought they would have cared. I thought that I would be accepted because of what I did for the Lord. I remember feeling that outcasted feeling. I remember the feeling of being emasculated when I would hear the rumors of my character flying around. I remember feeling this keeling your less than, this unworthiness because of what was being said behind my back. Like, I remember the snowball effect that it came from July 16th, 2019. I remember these things. I remember the feeling of worthlessness, having to live in someone else's home. I remember the feeling like Job, in a sense, where he says in chapter 23 and 3, if only I knew where to find God, I would go to his courts. I remember feeling like I was so alone. I remember feeling like nobody was listening. I remember feeling like nobody cared. I remember feeling that the only reason people were calling is because they wanted to be nosy. All they did was ask questions. I remember feeling like I was just never cared for. I remember I was like, God, where are you right now? I remember days and weeks of crying myself to sleep. I remember days of not being able to sleep at all. I remember days where I would stay up 24 hours because I couldn't. My mind was playing tricks on me. I remember not being in my right mind. I remember entering depression. I remember entering this realm of hurt that was unspeakable, where I didn't have the words to pray. I remember the devastation. I remember looking at my life and seeing how dark the nights were. I remember everything just coming like a flood, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. I remember the feeling of emptiness and brokenness. I remember the feeling at some points like I was just numb. The feeling of indifference, loving God but being mad that I couldn't hear him, loving God but yet feeling betrayed by God, loving God but feeling shunned by God, loving God but feeling separated from God, loving God but feeling like I wasted my time. I remember that feeling. If only I knew where to find God, I would go to his courts. Because from what I could see and from what I perceived, that he wasn't anywhere to be found. It didn't matter how many tears I had cried. It didn't matter how many psalms I read or how many days I had prayed. It didn't matter how many nights I'd stayed awake. It didn't matter how many worship songs I listened to. It didn't matter if I spoke in tongues. It didn't matter if I was preaching or going to church. None of that mattered. Because I felt like he was distant. I didn't know what else to do. And metaphorically, in a sense, all I was left with were broken memories of what I had endured. And in a metaphorical sense, I was just cutting the boils and the rotting flesh off my body. In a metaphorical sense, I had torn my robe and covered my head in ashes. In a metaphorical sense, I was unrecognizable. In my own eyes, and to some people, I was physically unrecognizable. My face had thinned out. I had no appetite. I didn't look the same. I didn't talk the same. The hardest thing for me to do in that moment was for me to wash my face and pretend as if I wasn't hurting. And I did the best that I could, and I shaved, and I wore clean clothes, and I showed up to church to serve, and I still taught, and I still did recordings, and I still did the podcast, and I showed up every week, and I did my Bible study. I did all that I knew that I could do. And sure, there were a few people in my corner who knew what was going on. And I mastered pretty well to a lot of people. Because I never said anything on Facebook, and I never posted about it on Instagram, and I never put my business out there. I never did it. But in the pits of my heart, in my gut, I would get sick to my stomach. Because just like Job 13:15, though he slay me, I felt slayed, y'all. I felt slayed. I felt so torn into pieces. I felt so wrecked. I felt so betrayed by God. When Satan is roaming around, why would you offer me? Why would you go to him and say, have you considered Keelan? Why would you put my name in the bucket? Why would you? Why would you allow such things? See, like Job, I felt unheard. I felt unanswered. I felt lonely. I felt forsaken. I felt like everything that I had invested in no longer mattered. So the question becomes, what do you do when it feels like serving God has gone wrong? How do you deal with that? What do you do when worship hasn't worked? What do you do when prayer hasn't worked? What do you do when believing in restoration hasn't worked? What do you do when praise hasn't worked? You've done everything you knew to do, and it still hasn't worked. What do you do with that? What do you do with that information? You cry, you weep, and you pray, you stay up, you fast, and nothing works. People you loved and cared for have gone silent. Or if you're like Job's friends, they've accused you. What have you done to bring such wreckage into your family? Keelan, what did you do? What did you do? I had somebody whom I was close to who said, you know, your wife didn't cheat for nothing. I had somebody tell me that. No, you got to take responsibility. She didn't cheat for nothing. Some of the most detrimental things that I had heard. Because after examining everything, going back and examining my behavior, what I did, what was going on, like I had examined everything back and forward. And I felt like, Job, why would you say that to somebody? Yo, and look, and I'll be honest with you, with the tale of my story, I promise you, there are some instances, I promise you, if you were to rewind the clock 10, 11 years ago, yep, I probably would have deserved it. But at this point, I mean, God had really turned my life around. He had cleaned up my act. He had anointed me. He had called me to do a work. I had proven myself. I had had my fair share of sitting in the back row and repenting and asking God for forgiveness. I had had my share of trying to prove myself faithful to God. I had my fair share of trying to prove myself faithful. As I said earlier, I had came up with a rhythm that worked for God and I. I had a designated meeting spot. I talked to him every morning. We talked every day. I prayed for wisdom and revelation and he would make himself real to me. He would speak to me in ways that I had never spoken before. I had been days and days and days, you're talking almost a year, fasting 14 to 16 hours a day. No junk food. Liquid for 14 to 16 hours straight. Giving God the first fruits of my day. Praying and weeping and seeking after God. But like Job, I just felt like my friends had gone silent. I had accusers coming out of nowhere. Some just stuck around for the show. Others just distanced themselves. I became a spectacle. What do you do with that information when you feel abandoned? What do you do with that information? How do you handle what you're experiencing? How do you continue to go on? I don't know what to do when your loved ones say, curse God and die. Curse God and die. I had literally had it said that, Keelan, I never wanted to do ministry. I never wanted to do ministry work. You chose to serve the Lord and do this thing to follow God without me. And in my heart, it broke something in me. I was like, is that not what I'm supposed to do, is serve the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength? Is this not how I'm supposed to serve the Lord? I'm supposed to consult you to make sure that it's okay? Just go ahead and move on. Go ahead and move on. Nothing else for you here. Curse God and die. And I'll be honest with you. I question a lot of things. Made me wonder if I was on the right path. How do you handle people who mock you for maintaining your integrity? Though he slay me, yet shall I trust in the Lord. Yet shall I trust in him. Yet shall I give him everything that I got. Yet shall I continue to praise him. Yet shall I continue to go to church. Yet shall I continue to sing songs of praise. Yet shall I continue to fall on my face. Yet shall I continue to fast and weep. In all my discomfort and everything that I felt, in my anger, in my anguish, in my hurt, in my brokenness, in my depression, yet shall I trust in him. There are so many questions we deal with, but how do you deal with depression, of neglect, loss, and what appears to be suffering? How do you deal when the person that you spent most of your life with is spending life with someone else? How do you deal with that? And I'm not even talking about just divorce for some people. I'm not talking about just infidelity for some people. It could be a multitude of things. I don't know what you go through is. I'm just talking about this particular part of my life. And what I've understood over the past 2 years is that God has used that in such a way to teach me some things. He molded me and shaped me in such a way that I couldn't have done it if I were still in that particular part of my life. If I were still with that same person, God would not have been able to reveal to me the things that he's revealed to me. He would not have been able to grow me and stretch me in the way that he has. He would not have been able to show me the revelation about my future had I still been there. And for some of you who are going through some of these things, I promise you, it gets better, but the night is so dark and I get it. You didn't know that that person was going to leave. You didn't know you were going to have to deal with death. You didn't know that you were going to have to deal with somebody in your family dealing with suicide. You didn't know that you were going to have suicidal thoughts. You didn't know that you would be at this crossroads. You had no clue. You didn't see it coming. There's no way you could have thought about it. No way you thought about it. But your accuser Satan has gone before the Lord and says, hey, I've been patrolling the earth, going to and fro, and you never thought about God saying, have you considered my servant? So what do you do with that information? What do you do with that information? Because what I've learned from Job, I've learned a valuable lesson. When you read the story, you can learn so much. When you read the first chapter of Job, and after he gets news of his livestock being burned and being stolen, and his farmhands and workers being murdered, and his kids being killed, and then he loses his health. When he gets the news in chapter one, sorry, he didn't lose his health until chapter two, but when he gets the news in chapter one, he never cursed God. It says he fell down and worshiped the Lord. He said, I came into this world naked. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He worshiped. He understood where his source was. He understood who gave the life. If God takes everything from you right now, could you still worship him? Would you? Would you still worship God? Because everything that we don't have on our own account. One thing that I learned from God is praise anyway. One thing that I learned from Job, is praise anyway. See, praise takes you above your circumstances, your worry, your doubt, and your fear. See, if you ever get the opportunity, I remember when Tyler Perry explained this. He says anytime there's turbulence, what he gets from air traffic control is to climb above the turbulence as much as you can. Is to climb and maintain. Praise takes you above the worries and doubts of this world, the fears of this world, the cares of this world. Praise takes you to a place that fear cannot. And in that place, above the turbulence, air traffic control says climb and maintain. Climb and maintain. What we learn from Job is praise anyway. No matter what it looks like, no matter how dark the night gets, praise anyway. I want you guys to understand. Job 2 and 9 says, his wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? That's where the maintenance comes in. Praise takes you high. Maintaining your integrity. Integrity keeps you in maintenance mode, which means don't fall victim. Don't fall victim. Don't fall for the trap. Don't curse God because things are not going right. Don't do that. Praise takes you above. Your integrity helps you maintain. It helps maintain your relationship with God. It helps keep you at a level where you're still trustworthy to God. I want you guys to understand that all things are happening for a reason. They're happening for a reason. God is testing the validity of what you said you wanted. He's testing the foundation of what you asked for. He's testing the foundation of what you prayed for. See, what I could not understand, though, while this was going on, I couldn't understand what God was doing. I thought, why is this happening to me? God was testing the foundation of what I prayed for, testing the foundation of what I said I wanted. My foundation was being shaken. Everything that I had known and loved and cared about was turned upside down. Everything that I thought was life was brought down to ruins. Everything that I thought was my life was not my life at all. I prayed and God answered. And he answered to test my foundation. See, Job's integrity was being questioned by the accuser. His integrity was being tested the entire time. And he never cursed God. So maintain your integrity. Maintain your faith. Maintain your worship. Maintain your prayer. Trust in God no matter what. Maintain your vision of God's will in your life. Maintain your vision. Don't lose sight of what God has done for you and what he's done through you. Maintain. Climb and maintain. The other thing I want you to notice, and here's the last point. Here's the last point, is that you must stay constant in prayer. And throughout the book of Job, you'll see him arguing between his accusers and him going into God in prayer, speaking in anguish, speaking in contrast to his hurt. Yes, he's depressed. Yes, he's hurting. And I get it. Sometimes you're praying and your prayer is a cry for help. Your prayer is out of pain. Sometimes you're upset. Sometimes you're angry. Sometimes you're sad. Sometimes you're mad. Sometimes you're not all there. Sometimes you don't even know what to pray. And God gets it. He understands. He understands. But if you just maintain, if you can just continue to praise, and if you can just stay constant in prayer, if you can just stay constant in prayer, I believe it's in Romans 12:12, where Paul says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, stay constant in prayer. Rejoice in the hope that you're a child of God. Be patient in your trouble. Be patient in your loss. Be patient in the accusations. Be patient. Be patient. Because no matter what it looks like, God is going to deliver you. He says that constant in prayer. Keep on praying. Look, I know you've had dark nights, but keep on praying. I know it doesn't look like you're going to be healed, but keep on praying. I know it doesn't look like the cancer is going to stop spreading, but keep on praying. Have joy and hope. Be patient in tribulation. Stay constant in prayer. Look, Job was being hit up on every side. He was being hit up on every side. And Job 42:5, I believe the scripture is, Job had answered God and said, he said, I had only heard about you before now, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. And every time you go through some things, God reveals himself in a different way. See, in some situations, you've heard about God in this magnitude, but you've never experienced God in this way. See, God becomes more real to you more and more every time you go through something and God shows up and he shows out. He then changes your expectation. He changes it. See, learning about God and experiencing God are two different things. See, we read about God and we learn about him in certain ways. And certain attributes about God, we've only learned about him. But in certain circumstances, God will show himself faithful. That helps you to experience God personally, not intellectually, not through theology, but out of relationship. So keep in mind that when you're going through things, it is of utmost importance that you hold on to your integrity. That you don't let the dynamics of your situation begin to speak for you. Because when you read at the end of the story, the accusers of Job, his friends that had spoke inaccurately about God, they then had to go back to Job and apologize. They then had to go back to Job and offer sacrifices. But here's, yo, this was heavy. Here's the hard part. That although Job had to endure all the accusations and everything Job had encountered, everything that he endured, he still had to maintain a level of integrity that did not allow him to harbor anger and unforgiveness. Because the Lord would not accept his friend's apology. He wouldn't accept their sacrifices and offerings. Job had to pray for them. God said, I will accept yours, but I won't accept theirs. So they had to humble themselves to pray, and Job had to keep himself humble so that he wouldn't harbor unforgiveness. So this thing that you're going through, this thing that you're experiencing, you must forgive it so that God will hear your prayer, so that your prayers aren't hindered, so that you don't feel isolated from God. You must undo the hurt with forgiveness so that you can communicate with God. The other thing that I want you to understand is that Job had to repent for praying foolishly out of ignorance, talking about God in such a way where he didn't have any knowledge. God had reprimanded Job for speaking out of turn in such a way that was damaging it showed that he was inaccurate about God's character in some ways, and God confronted him. So in your prayer time, if you have been speaking inaccurately about the Lord, you must repent for that. And I want to say this one more thing, that after Job had repented for what he was saying, and for some of you, it's how you were thinking about God, about his ability to do and change and transform your life. I want you guys to understand that when you correct that language, when you correct that talk, your thinking, God will restore what has been taken away. When Job repented, and when Job had made sure that there was no unforgiveness in his heart, God restored everything that was taken, everything he had lost, and he was given double for everything that the enemy had stolen. Everything. And for those of you under the sound of my voice, if your nights are dark right now, if you're going through it, forgive it and let it go. Forgive it and let it go. Forgive it and let it go. Change your language. Change the thoughts you have in your mind. Change it. Change it. Change it. Change it. I know it doesn't look like praiseworthy material right now, but keep praising. I know you're at your wit's end and you're angry and you're hurt and you're upset and you wanna go against the grain, but don't do it. Maintain your integrity. Don't do it. And above all else, stay constant in prayer so that you won't harbor unforgiveness, so that your heart won't get hardened. Praise anyway. Yo, this is Keelan Martin. I love y'all. I'll catch you later. Peace.